Welcome to a Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Scott Burton, in for Lori Scandling, and it's Thursday, June 7th, 2018. On today's show, we'll meet the artist who won Best of Show and the Best of Endangered Division at SHI's Juried Art Competition. We'll hear about the celebration-inspired film series at the Goldtown Theater. The Southeast Alaska Land Trust will highlight the Wild for Conservation 5K. And plan your weekend with Arts Up, a summary of all the capital city's arts and entertainment opportunities. Those interviews, national native news, bird note music, and more right here, live and local on a Juno afternoon. Currently 56 degrees, overcast, with winds from the east at about 13 miles per hour.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Canadian government has given an extension to the mandate of the commission investigating missing and murdered Indigenous women. But as Dan Karpinchuk reports, the extension falls well short of what the commissioners had asked for.
The federal government says 6 months should be enough for the commission to complete its work. That includes hearings and a final report. The inquiry now has until April of next year. But that isn't sitting well with the commissioners, who say the six-month extension does a disservice to the victims, survivors, and families. Marion Buller is the chief commissioner.
Very, very disappointed. We put a lot of work into our request for the two-year extension. It was well analyzed, well thought out, fact-based. And, of course, it was very disappointing to have the government dismiss that recommendation, or that request, rather, for additional time.
Buller says in asking for 2 years and an extra $50 million, the commission was striking a balance between the urgency of the issues and the need to do the work thoroughly. She adds that it now appears that political expediency has been given priority over the safety of Indigenous women and girls. But Minister Bennett says the decision to grant only a six-month extension was made partly because the provinces and territories were not unanimous in supporting anything longer. She also says the decisions came after consultations with survivors, families, and Indigenous groups, as well as the provinces and territories. The Commission's final report is due in April, and it will have until the end of June to wind down its operations. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
Dozens of people recently turned out in Kodiak, Alaska to celebrate the groundbreaking for a new downtown park. Aleutic Ancestors Memorial Park commemorates the ancestors of Aleutic people whose remains were removed from the archipelago and are being returned. Daisha Eaton with KMXT reports.
That's the sound of the Kodiak Aleutic dancers ushering in Aleutic Ancestors Memorial Park in downtown Kodiak. The dancers performed a set of songs and dances welcoming the return of some of their ancestors. Susan Malutin, whose great-grandmother was from Chirikoff Island near Kodiak, attended the groundbreaking.
You know, it felt sad and happy at the same time. Sad because what a long, long journey they had to take in order to get back home. And then happy because they are home.
Last year, after a long struggle, Kodiak's Aleutic Museum and Archaeological Repository was successful in securing the return of more than 100 individual remains back to the island from the University of Indiana. The Chirikoff remains were repatriated under a federal act called NAGPRA, the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act. It calls for any organization that receives federal funding to return remains in their care. Over the past 200 years, museums and archaeologists removed more than 1,000 remains of Aleutic people from the Kodiak area. The park tells this story and celebrates their return. April Lactonen Counselor is Aleutic and Executive Director of the Aleutic Museum.
We're probably talking about up to 1,200 people that have been returned home so far for reburial, and we want the larger community to understand the scope of this issue.
At the center of the memorial, there will be a large concrete ring, a shape representing the passageway between the spirit world and the regular world in Aleutic culture, containing a mass planting of blue forget-me-nots. Counselor says she hopes her people's success can serve as a model for other Indigenous communities. Construction of the park is scheduled to take place over the summer. In Kodiak, I'm Daisha Eaton.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Support by Canyon Records, producer of Native American music, including R. Carlos Nakai's million-selling Canyon Trilogy. All Canyon titles available from iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, and CanyonRecords.com. Support by AARP. What we do might surprise you, like sponsoring the Native American Journalists Association Conference in Miami, Florida, July 18th through the 21st. Information at aarp.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
You're listening to a Juno afternoon here on Thursday, June 7th, 2018. Scott Burton, your host today, in for Lori Scanling. It's about 6 minutes after the hour. And here in the studio with me now is the winner of Best of Show and the Best of Endangered Division at SHI's Juried Art Competition, Ariane Haikoyas. Welcome to the show, Ariane.
Thank you.
Did I get your name right?
Yes.
Thank you so much for being here. How do you feel right now?
I'm still very surprised, but excited and nervous, but excited and happy because it's celebration.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Tell us about yourself, your name, and where you're from.
So my name is Ariane, and my Haida name is Haikoyas, and it means precious weaver. I'm from Old Masset, Haida Gwaii, in British Columbia, Canada, and I'm from the Yukajanas Raven Clan.
Okay. Tell us when you started making spruce root baskets.
I started spruce root weaving with my aunt Isabel Rourke when I was 14 years old.
And you have to tell us the story, though, too. It goes back. You got to work with master weaver Dolores Churchill as well, right?
Yes. I've loved weaving my whole life, and when I was a very little girl, I got to weave my first cedar-plated basket with Dolores, and it was quite the experience.
Tell us more about that experience. How old were you again?
I may have been 3 or 4, so it was quite some time ago, and she really told me about plating and how it all has to sit a certain way, and if one's wrong, it wrecks the whole basket, and to be sure that everything is straight and lined up perfectly. And when we got to the going up the basket, we saw a mistake in the bottom. I said, Auntie Dolores, you made a mistake. And I was so sure it was her, but she says it was me, and I was a very strong-minded little girl, and we talked about it for quite a few minutes, and Auntie Dolores took it apart and fixed it, and at the end of the day, we had a nice basket.
And as some people may know, she was one of the jurors in this year's Juried Art Competition, but of course all the entries are anonymous, right?
Yes.
And how do you think she responded when she found out it was you?
I am not sure, because I'm very surprised, and I feel like she may be surprised as well.
Can you describe the piece that you made for this contest for our listeners?
So it's, I would say, just a couple inches wide and tall, and it's made entirely out of spruce roots, and I wove it without a mold, because sometimes people weave around cans or different forms, and I used my hands to create the shape, which is very old-fashioned.
And even before that, were you able to go out and gather spruce roots?
Yes, I go out and dig spruce roots with my family, and we cook them at the beach and clean them and strip them and process them towards being weaving.
What's that process like, harvesting spruce roots?
It's challenging because you have to find the right type of forest and the right area, because there might be a lot of other roots or twigs and things, and I'm really scared of bugs, and there's bugs, so that's a challenge. But it goes well, and then it's fun because we get to spend whole days doing it, and it's very bonding, and I love it.
And about how long did it take you to make this basket?
I had been working on it on and off throughout the last, I would say, maybe year, including the digging, because I've also been in a university program and got a new job and a diving course and just have a lot of things all in the air, and it's nice when there's a moment like this where I could stop and look at everything.
Thinking about this juried art competition, part of celebration here, Sea Alaska Heritage Institute, if somebody's never been to that or seen the scope of entries, how would you describe that to our listeners?
It's amazing. Like, you don't know what to expect, and there are so many different pieces to see. I've never applied to the juried art show before, so it was all new to me, and it was all new to my sister and my cousin and his wife that were there, too.
And do a few of the pieces come to mind that you can tell our listeners about or fellow artists that were in the show?
I was really impressed by all the submissions. Like, there's such variety, yet there's only so many divisions, but you could see how diverse it is between the tribes.
And you won Best of Show, and you also won Best of Endangered Division. I think we know what that means, but tell us more, please.
For me, it's really an honor. I was surprised to even, I applied, and then I was surprised that my pieces were selected to be a part of the jury, and then I've got the phone call, and I was like, wow, I wonder what the award is for. But I was so busy, I just put it aside. I'm like, I'll be surprised with everybody else. And it's very shocking and exciting. But I also feel bad that Spruce Root is endangered. It does make it special, but also is kind of makes it rare.
By the way, listeners, I've put a picture of Ariane's piece up on KTOO Facebook, so you can go and see that right now, courtesy of Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. Tell us about your community of weavers now. You've spoken about it a bit so far, but who are you weaving with?
I've been mostly weaving with my Aunt Isabel, but I come from a family of weavers with my great nanny being Isabella Edenshaw, and then my great nanny being Florence Davidson and Selena Paradovich, and then my nanny being Primrose Adams, and my aunt being Dolores Churchill, and my aunt and mentor being Isabel Rorick. I've been very lucky to have so many weavers around to learn from and
absolutely
a lot of support.
And what's it like coming up here to Tlingit Ani? What's that like for you, sharing culture?
I'm very excited about it. It's such a lucky opportunity to come up it's my third celebration, so it was fun riding the ferry up and getting to visit everybody along the way. Last time I came on a canoe, so it's different.
All right. It's been so great talking to you. Where can our listeners see your art?
At the Juried Art Show exhibit. It's at the Walter Sobolev.
Mm-hmm.
Did I pronounce that properly?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's there till, I think, September.
Okay. And where can we find you online? Or in other places?
I actually do not have a website or social media. I just, when people see my baskets on display or people wearing my woven regalia is how they see it. So.
All right. Well, it's been so great meeting you, and thank you so much.
It was nice to meet you, too.
Yeah, coming
Thanks
on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
I'm not sure. Happy celebration.
Again, congratulations.
Awa.
Hi, this is Lauren with Juneau Parks and Recreation. Splash into summer with Juneau Pools. Take advantage of our new $129 summer swim pass for all ages, providing admission for lap and open swim, tot time, channel walking, water fitness classes, and more. Valid May 1st through October 1st. Remember, head over to Augustus Brown during Diamond Park's annual closure, May 6th through 22nd, and enjoy Friday night moonlight swim. Visit us at JunoPools.org and like us on Facebook.
This is Bird Note. When nesting, most birds lay a roughly predictable number of eggs. Bald eagles, 2. Bluebirds, 4 to 6. Mallards, 10 to 12. Which leads to an obvious question. How do they determine when they've laid the right number? To find out, scientists experimented by going to nests and repeatedly removing eggs soon after they were laid. Some birds replaced them straight away. For example, a house sparrow laid 50 in a row, while a flicker laid 71 in 73 days before the removal was halted. Birds that do this, keep on laying after the eggs are removed, are called indeterminate layers. And for them, it seems that the number of eggs is intimately tied to the brood patch. That's the bare skin on a bird's underside that transfers body warmth to the eggs during incubation. It's the tactile sensation involved in this process that seems to let the layer know she's reached the ideal number of eggs. But for some other birds, the scientists removing eggs had no effect at all on egg numbers. These are known as determinate layers, and just why these two types of layers exist remains an open question. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
You're listening to a Juneau Afternoon here on Tuesday, June 7th. It's about 20 minutes after the hour, and now in the studio is Colette Costa, manager, curator at the Goldtown Theater.
Make words up, don't you? She's the pure purveyor.
Programmer,
timer.
Popcorn maker.
Head mouse killer.
You name it.
I mean, liberator.
And Goldtown Theater here, our art house theater in downtown Juneau, Alaska.
We still have one.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Are they hard to find these days?
Getting harder. Less of them are closing up than 5 or 6 years ago when the digital revolution happened. But and actually, quite a few have opened up. There's a surprising number of art house theaters that have opened up across the U.S. in the last 4 or 5 years.
What's the appeal? I mean, we know, but for someone who hasn't been to one.
Just butter. I think it's just the butter.
Buttered popcorn.
I don't know what the hell else it would be. It's definitely, you know, what they call alt programming. So it's, I think anytime you have a choice in anything, that's always good. But, you know, not everybody needs to see things exploding and superheroes and ships going down in the middle of the night.
What about watching a movie with people rather than...
It's the best thing ever. I mean, I'm always navigating. I understand there are people who just don't like it. They think it's weird. They need to have their alone time. But like almost anything else, they're much more greatly enjoyed in groups of people. Just the way a joke is funnier with more people, and the way a meal is better when it's shared. And I think, especially when you're in a smallish room and people are having this common experience, and, you know, oftentimes we go to movies because we want to see ourselves up there, and we want to see someone else having that experience and relate to it. And when you can share that with someone else, and I think it's a much more fulfilling experience. Especially with RGB that we're showing, the Ruth Bader Ginsburg film. All politics aside, it is a beautiful love story about her and her husband that is, I mean, you get choked up just on that bit of it. Forget everything else that she did. It's such a relatable human element, and it's what makes that film so great. And everyone loves that part of it.
When can we see that?
You can see that tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday at 7:15. And Sunday at 4:30, and that might be our last show unless we get good turnouts again.
If somebody's never been to your theater,
I don't
want to
know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they can.
I do, because then you could. I could give you the grand tour. This is the room, and this is the other room.
And where is it? How do we find the front
room?
We're
invisible. Our superpower is invisibility. We are right behind City Hall.
The heart of downtown.
I'd say you can't miss us, but so many do. Yeah, we're right there in the old alley, which, you know, I'm from Detroit originally. It feels very much like home, stepping over our local downtown happy people. But, yeah, it's fine. It's safe-ish down there.
And you have a celebration film series happening as well, right?
I'm really excited. I've collaborated with Sea Alaska for, I think, the last three, maybe four celebrations. I'm kind of... Now I'm really aging myself. It might have been four. And we just sort of, you know, they give me ideas for films. Sometimes films have come along that they haven't heard of and things that I want to focus on. And we've got four films this year. Three of them are locally made. Then we're doing, I'm very excited, the 20th anniversary of Smoke Signals, which was such a great movie. It was such a you take for granted some of these things, but it was such a groundbreaking achievement at the time. It was, you know, directed, written, produced, and starred all Native Americans, which at the time was, I mean, I think it was like 80% produced by Native Americans, and it was just such a cool story.
You brought me a clip. Let's listen to it.
Okay.
You know, Thomas, I don't know what you're talking about half the time. Why is that?
I don't know.
I mean, you just go on and on talking about nothing. Why can't you have a normal conversation? You're always trying to sound like some damn medicine man or something. I mean, how many times have you seen Dances with Wolves? 100, 200? Oh, jeez. You have seen it that many times, haven't you? Don't you even know how to be a real Indian?
I guess not.
Well, shit, no wonder. Jeez. I guess I'll have to teach you then, ain't it? First of all, quit grinning like an idiot. Indians ain't supposed to smile like that. Get stoic. No. Like this. You gotta look mean or people won't respect you. White people will run all over you if you don't look mean. You gotta look like a warrior. You gotta look like you just came back from killing a buffalo.
But our tribe never hunted buffalo. We were fishermen.
What? You wanna look like you just came back from catching a fish? This ain't Dances with Salmon, you know. Thomas, you gotta look like a warrior.
That's great.
What else do you have playing there?
That's solid, right? You know what? There's nothing wrong with looking like you just came back from catching a fish. I've seen some sexy guys coming back from catching a fish, and you know what else? I got dinner. Done. So we have four titles that we are featuring. We have the 20th anniversary of Smoke Signals, which I want to say Lyle showed at the Gold Town when it came out, which made me, because I saw it there, and then that made me realize that it's also our 20th anniversary. So, what do you know?
And when show times for that?
That will be today at 4. In fact, I got to get out of here and go down there. Also at 9 o'clock tonight, Friday at 5:45, and Sunday at 2:30. The schedule is an absolute mishmash. It's a complete joggernaut. So, I highly recommend going to goldtownnick.com. Check out the schedule there. And I've got some little flyers at Centennial Hall with the schedule and some synopses. But tomorrow we have one show of this movie called Up Rivers, which is a great little documentary. The director is here in town. He'll be here. He'll be there at the screening, which is tomorrow at 2:30. And it's the story of two women who are fighting to protect this watershed at a transboundary mining, which this watershed is important for their lifestyle and for their subsistence fishing. And it's a really, really powerful documentary.
Let's take a listen.
Okay.
It was an unprecedented event. It wasn't supposed to happen. It was supposed to be impossible.
Yesterday morning, 10 million cubic meters of wastewater poured into local waterways when the earthen dam surrounding a tailings pond collapsed.
All the nations along that depend on that salmon, it was like a death. The company continues to keep operating, mining at all costs. This is setting a precedent worldwide. They get away with poisoning the water and deny it all that it's all safe and to don't worry about it and to trust them.
We've lived off our land for thousands of years. It would kill our traditional way of living. We're fighting big corporate giants. The third largest mine in the world. The tailings dams, larger than the Hoover Dam. It's a fight that I'm just not going to stop.
That's, you know, among the things that I think is special about the Gold Town Theater. You're going to have the director at the showing.
Yep, he's in town, and in fact, we're going to meet up later today. And
filmmaker.
Acceptable. And there's only one show of that, and that's Saturday at 2:30 p.m. We also have a film called Journeys to Adaka, which is a story of seven indigenous artists who are preparing to go to the Adaka Cultural Festival, which is in Whitehorse, which is I've never gone to someone. I've talked to someone yesterday who's gone. Says it's a phenomenal festival, and what they do to prepare to go there. And that's playing Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then finally we have Keep Talking, which is a great little documentary. It follows four Native Alaskan women who are fighting to save this Kodiak language, of which there are only 40 fluent elder speakers left. And one woman in particular who has started a language immersion camp. And then the story of some other young ladies who are in it who are battling some challenges in life and who sort of are finding redemption through following their culture again and rediscovering their language and overcoming historical abuses and et cetera. It's a pretty powerful stuff. And Keep Talking, there's only three shows of that. Well, there's only two left. One was yesterday. Keep Talking also plays Friday at 9 p.m. and Saturday at 4 p.m. So,
remind us where we can see all of these movies, trailers, and listings.
Yes, over at goldtownnick.com with two N's. And I've got, if you go by the building, which is the Emporium Mall behind City Hall, I've got some of these little flyers in our door. You can just come by and pick one up. I'll be there in about 10 minutes to show smoke signals. So if you want to stop in and say hi, please do so.
We've been speaking with Colette Costa, manager of the Gold Town Theater. See her in a few minutes down at the theater. Thank you, Colette, for coming
on.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Enjoy eating fresh, high-quality local foods and supporting your community? Then you should check out the Salt and Soil Marketplace, Southeast Alaska's online farmers market connecting producers from all over Southeast Alaska to Juneau residents. You can choose from a wide range of goods grown and produced right in the community, all with the convenience of online shopping. The marketplace is open every week, Friday through Wednesday. Then pick up your order on Thursdays from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. downtown or in Lemon Creek. Sign up, support your community, and eat local. Find out more at saltandsoilmarketplace.com.
You're listening to a Juneau Afternoon here from KTOO Public Media. It's about 5 minutes past the bottom of the hour, and joining me in the studio now is Allison Gillum. She is the Executive Director of the Southeast Alaska Land Trust, and we're going to be talking about the Wild for Conservation 5K that's happening this Saturday. Allison, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, so this is the fourth annual run, right?
It is our fourth year doing it, yeah.
Where and when?
So we host it out at the Airport Dyke Trail. It's going to be this Saturday, June 9th, at 9 a.m. is the race start. 8 a.m. is the start of registration. So, and we do it out at the Airport Dyke Trail because it overlooks the refuge and some of our conservation properties that are adjacent to the refuge. You get a view of them when you're running on that trail. So highlight some of our conservation work.
Got it. So you mentioned refuge, and just thinking about the mission of the Southeast Alaska Land Trust, will you remind us of that?
Yeah, so the Southeast Alaska Land Trust is a nonprofit organization. Our mission is to protect lands of natural, recreational, and cultural values throughout Southeast Alaska. So these properties that abut the refuge definitely fall within that, protecting land for both, you know, wildlife habitat, but also recreational lands. The refuge is a huge, huge part of the recreation of Juneau.
And is that what some people call the Mendenhall Wetlands?
Yeah, the Mendenhall Wetlands State Game Refuge, right, yeah, right here in the heart of Juneau.
What do you like personally about that area?
Oh, man. I mean, I think visit or view the wetlands every day, as I think a lot of people do as they drive down Egan Drive. But I love that it's kind of multi-use. There's people who walk their dogs, they go birding, there's, you know, educational activities that happen out there, but also hunters and fishermen use the land, and I think there's room out there for all of those users.
Sounds good. What else is on your radar right now? What's a project you all might be working on?
Yeah, we are always working on projects, and in fact, we have a bunch of projects going on. I can say we're working on some higher profile properties. There is a project right next to the refuge near the airport that is privately owned, and we're working to purchase it so we can hopefully one day put it as part of the refuge. So, yeah.
Okay. So this run, it starts at what time again?
9 a.m., but registration starts at 8, and it's out at the Airport Dyke Trail. It's a dog-friendly race, so I have a dog, Juniper. A lot of people have seen that dog around town, and she'll definitely be there representing for me running the trail since I'll be getting everything ready to go for the race. So.
I imagine it's a fun run for sure, but will there be times, will people be out there?
Yeah, we'll be timing it. It's part of the Nugget Alaskan Cup. It's part of the Juneau Trail and Roadrunners race series. And the first 50 registrants get a commemorative pint glass. We've done that every year, so some people may have several of those pint glasses at this point. And we're going to have some prizes. The Alaska Brewing Company, is providing us with a whole bunch of prizes that we're going to be giving out to race participants.
So you said registration at 8 o'clock, but is it 8 a.m. this Saturday, but is it good to do that early?
Yeah, so there's online pre-registration. You can go to our website at www.southeastalaskalandtrust.org, and there's a whole registration that you can do there so you don't have to worry about it on race day. Yep.
All right.
And it's $20 to register, I guess I should mention that.
All right. We've been speaking with Allison Gillum. She's the executive director of the Southeast Alaska Land Trust, and The Wild for Conservation 5K is this Saturday at 9 a.m., but get there at 8 on the Airport Dyke Trail.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to share, Allison?
Yeah, just hope to see you there with your four-legged friend.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
We've lost a muddy river and the jewel of the canyon lands. The wild wind, the rolling water were the tools in Mother Nature's hands. They dammed the Colorado for the cities that grow downstream. In the glen, no shadows linger under night's glowing stars or moonbeams. We've got a long ways to go. We've got a long ways to go to understand what time has done. This river wants to run. Revelation seared in memory, hold the truth of what was done. Dry country shelters even, where the willow and cotton would grow. Etching scene and bleeding red wall, their fate sealed by the water below. We've got a long ways to go. We've got a long ways to go to understand what time is done. This river wants to run. Was the Bureau of Reclamation a river runner's point of view? Hydropower for Arizona got the green light from Goldwater too. People come and go with seasons, a friend and foe, some living, some gone. Still it stands, the Navajo Mountain, music temple incomparable ground. We've got a long got a long ways to go to understand what time has done. This river wants to run. This river wants to run.
Only Fools Run at Midnight is fast approaching.
Run for Public Radio.
On June 23rd, join forces, get active with your friends and co-workers,
and register as a team for the biggest fun run of the year.
You and your teammates could dress up as fruit,
monsters,
animals,
or whatever you come up with.
Then be entered in the annual Only Fools Run at Midnight costume contest,
featuring great prizes.
Embrace the spirit.
And register your team today at ktoo.org/foolsrun.
Listening to a Juno afternoon here on Thursday, June 7th, about 12 minutes until the top of the hour. And we're winding down here, but it is Thursday, and it's time for Arts Up. Nancy DeCherney is here in the studio with me. We're listening to Silver Jackson here, who is also, his other music project is called Indian Agent. Nick Galanin, behind a lot of their work. They're going to be at Kindred Post tonight for a tiny post office concert celebration sessions of all Indigenous artists. I wouldn't get there any later than 6:30.
Okay, you heard it here.
Right here.
So,
what's on your list, Nancy?
Well, there are a few things.
Yeah.
It's celebration, and there's just people all over the place having a wonderful time, beautiful regalia, all sorts of things. So, speaking of 6 o'clock, there's a film showing Journeys to Alaska at Goldtown Nickelodeon. This is seven Indigenous artists as they prepare for the Adaka Cultural Festival in Whitehorse. And then also at 6, there's a designer workshop at the Sobolov Building. Anybody who's interested in designing for future Native fashion shows, That's at 6. And also at 6, there's Salmon Beyond Borders, the summer salmon kickoff at the Yacht Club. So there's a fish on the grill, beer, sweets, friends, $5 donation. Come on down. And as you just mentioned, the 6:30 thing, don't be late because it's a tiny coaster. Post office. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of big talent.
Saturday or Friday morning, 9 a.m., celebration. The dance performances begin at Centennial Hall. You know, you can go onto their website and get the list of the order of the dancers' performances, but if you have time in your day, squeeze out the opportunity to get over there. The Juried Youth Art Exhibit is open over at the Arts Council at the Jack, and we have the Artist Market both at the Sea Alaska Plaza and at the Jack. Beautiful stuff. Amazingly beautiful stuff. At 10 a.m., Regalia Care and Workshop, that's at the Sobolov Building. At noon, this is what you need to do, the Toddler Regalia Review. This is darling, and it is at the Centennial Hall. So stop in. It's free. You can go see the kids in their little regalias, ages 2 to 4. Baby Raven Celebration at the Sobolov Building at 12:45. Families with infants and children up to the age 5 are invited to participate. They'll be singing, dancing, and stories. From 2 to 4, it's World Oceans Day at the Mendenhall Valley Library. Talk about plastic pollution and all that sort of stuff. How there'll be interactive touch tanks, outdoor obstacle course, crafts, all sorts of things to do out at the library. A film showing again at the Nickelodeon at 4:30, The Journey to Adaka. And the Native Fashion Show is at 6 p.m. at the Centennial Hall. It's a runway show. And there's a PFLAG potluck at Aldersgate Methodist Church at 6 p.m. The poetry performances are at 7 p.m. on Friday. It's the Sobolov Building. And there's a Friday night concert from 8 to 10 at the Flight Deck. I don't remember who's performing. I should have looked that up. There's a punk rock pride prom at the Westmark Baranoff Hotel at 8 p.m. So you can don your favorite dance attire. Doesn't have to be prom dresses. So, although those are fun. And then Keep Talking is a documentary at 9 p.m. at the Nickelodeon about Alaska Native language revitalization. Saturday, you know, you can get all this on our website, jahc.org, because there's a lot. Wild for Conservation 5K at the Mendenhall Refuge Trail. It starts at 8, ends at 11. There's an Audubon Society bird walk at 8 a.m. out at Auk Bay Recreation. And there's the parade, the celebration parade. It starts down at Ferry Way and comes up South Franklin to Centennial Hall. It's the opportunity for you to see all the dance groups performing. It's wonderful. And hopefully the weather will participate in a cooperate somehow. Again, there's the artist markets and all that sort of stuff. Also at 10 a.m., the Juno Dipsticks Show and Shine is out at Mendenhall Autos. No fee. Come on down and check it out. Cars, we love them. Also, there's a Juno Nature Seminar at the Mendenhall Outer Point and Mendenhall Glacier. Geologic landforms. The second Saturday market's happening at the Airport Mall. There is a panoramic photo for the celebration folks at 11. From 1, you see the film again. There's dance performances all afternoon. 2 p.m., Two-Spirit Reception. Gather your spirit brothers from across Southeast and commemorate both celebration and pride. There's a film showing Magnetic North with Nathan Jackson at Shukahit, which is the clan house in the Sobolov Building, about Nathan Jackson. This is at 2:30. He'll be there. Up Rivers at the Nickelodeon, there's another film. There's so much to do. Bottoms Up, a pub crawl, a pride pub crawl at 8 p.m. There's a pride picnic on Sunday from 1 to 4. Nicole Deeker, Marion Call, and Laura Zahasky are doing an author event at 5 p.m. at Rainy Retreat Books. That sort of is at the end. Saturday is the last bit of celebration, so you now can move into other things. There's walking tours happening. Moon's Facts at the Marie Drake Planetarium on Tuesday from 7 to 8. And there's LGBTQ and trivia at the Imperial on Wednesday. So got a few things to do.
And remind us where we can find this list, Nancy.
jahc.org and also at ktoo.org. So really take time to get out and enjoy this amazing celebration. It only happens once every other year, so this is a truly exciting opportunity.
Nancy DeCherney, Executive Director of the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, graciously comes over here every Thursday to tell us what's going on in the community. Nancy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For KTOO comes from Pevitt Health and Fitness, locally owned and open 24/7, offering fitness classes, childcare, and summer memberships for exercising on those rainy days. More information at gopevitt.com. Pevitt Health and Fitness, for your total well-being.
Thank you for tuning in to a Juno Afternoon. Andy Klein will be your host tomorrow, and we'll have more celebration-inspired interviews and stories here from Catholic Community Services as well in a Chilkat run up in Haines. It's currently 56 degrees and overcast here in the capital city. The forecast for tomorrow, Friday, calls for scattered showers, 40% chance with a high around 57. Saturday, showers likely, 70% with a high around 51. Thanks for tuning in to a Juno Afternoon.